This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Got a great DM. I don't know if he wants his name shared, so I won't share it, but I'll read the end of it. He says, you can't protect against somebody breaking the law. He said, the reality is the law is supposed to protect against kind of what the Dodgers have done. And he declared much less than is the actual number. Mark Walter, not Walters. He says, Major League Baseball can, if they want to, decide this type of money coming into baseball is not good for it because of moral risk. I'll reference the FanDuel signs on the walls of stadiums that would lead you to believe that they're going to be just fine with it. I think also, I mean, honestly, and it sucks to put it on one player, but he is, Shohei Ohtani is really a big part of this, where you cannot upset the money. It's exactly why Bud Selig turned a completely blind eye to steroids in baseball. Baseball was dying. It was on life support. And then guys come up and they're hitting 600-foot home runs, 40 to 50 of them a year, and the game is back. And chicks dig the long ball. And, oh, my God, look at these guys. They look like Olympic athletes and not baseball players. And they're freaks. And Bud Selig knew exactly what was going on. He was the owner of a baseball team. They all knew what was going on.
This is nothing new.
This is nothing new. That you protect your golden
goose.
The NFL
protecting Tom Brady.
Of course.
David Stearns, rumored to be protecting Michael Jordan back in the 90s.
Yeah,
you know what
Jordan's
mean?
Like, innocent. But,
Jordan had nothing off the court. No
Paulie,
off the court issues
that
whatsoever.
That man went home and went to sleep and worked on his game.
Him
That's
and
what
Dennis
he did.
Rodman, yes. They had Bible study
he
after
just
every
went,
game.
No, there was no Bible study. He went and worked on his game, okay? That's it. These rumors of casinos and whatnot, all unfounded, all right? But no, the amount of money he brings in internationally and the eyes that he gets on the game, it's inherently a great thing, and it's a great thing for baseball. So, of course, and I'm not, again.
But, Shohei Ohtani is a great thing for baseball, regardless of what team he's on, right? I mean,
coupled with the fact that the way that they have chosen now to do business and win and get all the eyes of Japan and Asia on U.S. baseball, the endorsements. So he's, I don't know.
I'll acknowledge the Dodgers have made much better use of Shohei Ohtani
than the Angels did.
His star has gotten brighter.
Ever did.
Correct.
But I don't think that I don't think that goes away if Shohei Ohtani goes to another team. And by the way, that is a possible outcome here.
Do you find that odd?
Even though he signed the long contract, there is a clause that if the Dodgers are sold, and it's possible that Mark Walter may have to sell the Dodgers at the end of this whole investigation.
His share, yeah.
Shohei Ohtani will have the choice to opt out. Now, it was reported last week that they didn't think he was going to, no matter what happens. But none of this is for sure. I mean, you know, you get more details coming out, and Shohei may feel uncomfortable about the whole situation, and he may see a greener pasture somewhere else with more upfront money. Like, hey, I don't know how much this deferred money is now going to be there. That was what Mark Walter promised me, was this $68 million.
I believe it's an escrow. I believe it's...
I mean, it's not... I mean, but what about the next few years? Like, if they get in financial trouble in some way, the Dodgers already went through a bankruptcy at one point with different owners. Seems unfathomable now that would happen again, but...
Vulnerable
and unfathomable.
A big risk.
Vulnerable.
He could choose to go to a different team, which is not the most impossible outcome of this whole scandal.
And again, forgive me. I'm not trying to be naive, and I'm also not trying to take a shot here. Is that not an odd request? I kind of understand the Friedman part of it, like, because that's part of his clause as well. If Andrew Friedman goes, I can go. That's like how my contract is structured here. If Adam Klug goes, I'm gone.
right?
I got it written in blood. So, but the fact it was kind of weird where he's like, hey, if just on a whim, something happens to the owners, I can leave? Is that standard?
No. I've never seen it before.
I'm trying to think like... Yeah, it's. I don't know that it's common at all, but if, like, Manny had that in his contract, like, you know how close Manny and Peter were. Like, if Manny had anything in his contract, would that be weird? Like, hey, if the team is sold or anything happens, like,
would it be weird?
Because I loved Peter. I was here to be with Peter. I don't know.
It's very, and again, it does bring up the now the cottage industry or the standard story in the industry was this is the cool thing about Shohei is this was his idea. He came and I have it in the DM from Jeff. He gave this offer to the Blue Jays and the Angels and the whoever else. They all could have done this. And I now when I see some of these improprieties come out, I go, I don't know that I necessarily believe that's true, that he came in and pitched it and said, guys, I got a great idea. Pay me a dollar and then pay me, you know, millions and millions later because we want to build a great team here. I just don't know that I buy it anymore. I don't. I don't know that it was his idea.
I believe it in that Shohei, if he's smart, which sounds like at least, I mean.
How smart could he be? Did someone lose $14 million?
I'm to believe all that he wants me to believe.
You haven't noticed this? I've had your ATM card for 6 months, and I've been pulling, Paulie and I have been pulling money out to buy baseball cards.
Someone around him knows enough to monetize Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
He's making... By the way, he's probably making over $100 million a year right now in endorsements.
Easy.
So he has no reason to need any of that money up front. And knowing that it allows the Dodgers to then do whatever they want to try to create a winner.
I think we know what they've been doing.
But that only increases Shohei's brand. Like, hey, the thing that I need the most is to play in the World Series every year.
Yep.
And I will make more by doing that than I will by getting the money now from the Dodgers. And by the way, I'll still get that money eventually.
Oh, yeah.
And more than I would have just by being patient. So he's making money now. He's making money in the future.
Yeah.
It was actually a genius deal by Shohei Ohtani.
And see, I got Jeff Passan telling me in my DMs that it was a terrible deal for Shohei Ohtani. Terrible. He said it's terrible for the player. It's terrible. I'm not going to publish his DM, but I think it's a genius deal
by Shohei Ohtani.
I can show it to you.
Or whoever negotiated for him, knowing how much he can make by being on a prominent Dodgers World Series winning team, that it just opens the cash faucets around the world, especially in Japan. And then, you know, basically the $68 million that he's going to get for a decade, that's just like a 401k, basically. Like, that's extra retirement money, but I got plenty now. I got plenty in the future. He could go and be a hermit in the 2040s and just continue to make $68 million a year doing nothing. He doesn't have to be on a billboard. He doesn't have to go to a promo shoot, and he'll still be making money, you know, tons of money that decade. I think it was genius.
Sports
deal.
Media celebrates Bobby Bonilla Day. Just wait for Shohei Ohtani Day every
year. That is like it's like a gross national income of countries. You know that he's going to be getting paid out, you know, once a year or whatever. But it remains a really fascinating story. And again, you know, Dodger fan listening, and I know you're plentiful. I heard you call. Yeah, I heard you making fun of our sick owner, our dead owner. Our loan, the poverty franchise, all of it. It comes around. It really does. The thing is, I was thinking about driving yesterday. Nothing is ever as good as it seems. That setup, that situation, having the entire sports media world covering for you, carrying your water, telling everybody. And it was kind of the way that they told people, too. It was like, you're an idiot. Your owner's an idiot. Also, he's cheap. Then our owner said, we're going to spend money. They go, well, you can't spend money like that. You can't do that. That's not sustainable. Well, it turns out a Ponzi scheme isn't sustainable either at all. And so I think it really, it's a good lesson for all of us. The beating of the chest, and I've been guilty of it myself, the beating of the chest can come back and bite you in the ass. It absolutely can. It's happened to me in my life, 2023. Padres, I will never forgive you for all the I had bruises on my chest from how much I was beating my chest about how great this team was going to be. And I learned my lesson, which is why the Padres can win 14 in a row. And I'm like, I don't think so. I don't know if they have it. You know, like we're all scarred by that.
In that DM you read, you also mentioned the tie-in to... You know, the FanDuels of the world, Prize Picks. That to me is another issue separately. I don't know that there's anything different that Major League Baseball could do.
I don't know that you're the most impartial to talk about that.
Well, I mean,
you know what I mean? Let's be honest.
Well,
right?
I mean, are you morally opposed to gambling or not? Do you think it's okay to gamble?
I think the proliferation of gambling in baseball is a bit hypocritical. I do. I think, I mean, it's their number one rule. What if a commissioner came in and said, hey, man, This is going to sting. It's going to sting, but I think it's better for the game long term that we distance ourselves from sports gambling in our game, promoting it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't see Seagram 7 ads out there anymore, Benny. You don't see vape ads out on the billboards at Petco Park. You distance yourself from certain things, I think, if things start to get out of control. And I think we can all agree things have gotten a little out of control in the game.
I guess from my perspective is if Major League Baseball is not partnering with any of these sites, it doesn't stop any of the gambling at all.
It doesn't. No, of course not.
It continues on.
People continue to drink Seagram 7. Why don't they have a big bottle, hit it into the Seagram 7 bottle? Why? But
they have plenty of Bud Light ads and all kinds of different
Marlboro
ads as well.
Hit it in tobacco, but we don't put baseball cards in them anymore.
Hit it into the Marlboro box, and you'll get a pack of smoke. Truly, like,
well,
where's the line?
That's not a moral choice that Major League Baseball made. That's
okay,
a
so
law
in,
that they can't.
What about
advertise
in
stadiums? That's the same with hard alcohol. They are not allowed to do that.
Right,
so
there's
if
laws.
They were, they would do it.
So what about in Vegas? You know those little cards that you collect?
Yeah,
the girls on the street. So you're not morally opposed to it, right? But could you throw it up? Like, call Bunny for a good time tonight at 6. You know. 702-555-1212 out at a ballpark? Or is that something maybe we shouldn't promote for kids? Well, you're not gonna stop it. It's gonna happen.
Right?
Like, again, I think they've established where the line is. I'm not saying they should.
If you wanna say that there should, just like hard alcohol and tobacco, that there should not be any advertising for gambling allowed,
yeah.
No TV commercials, no billboards, I will accept that argument. Radio's
still good, though.
That's a fair... No, I mean, it wouldn't be on radio
either.
They
don't have any alcohol advertisements in baseball?
They have
Budweiser.
Beer and wine, but you can't advertise hard alcohol.
You got it.
And cigarettes or tobacco.
Yeah.
But that's a law. That's not baseball.
Could you imagine the left field wall of the new A's stadium just being those those ads?
Girls, right to your room.
And they rotate behind home plate. Behind home plate, it's like a different car.
It's those
comes
weird
up.
Those trucks that are just billboards behind them. The billboard truck.
You're like, what? They're gonna do it anyway. They're already out there on the strip.
Every time we're in Vegas, if I see those buses or the little trucks driving down, I'll just go, babe, it's only $120. That seems like a pretty good deal.
Come to your room.
She is gorgeous for $120.
But it should not be up to companies whose jobs are they're trying to make money, Odyssey included, to say you need to take a moral stand against this. If it's legal and we've decided that, you know, online gambling is something that you should be able to do responsibly, and those companies are allowed to advertise, you can't make it on Major League Baseball or a radio company or a television station to be, well, we're not taking your money. I mean, we legally can, but we're not going to take your money because we have some issues with it. So that is not even, like, to me, a discussion that's going to happen.
I don't think it will either.
Until someone tells them you are no longer legally allowed to take DraftKings and FanDuel and PrizePicks ads, there will be those kind of ads all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe it was just kind of a straw man argument at the end of his original point about, you know, listen, if I had to guess how baseball will react to this and what they will do to their cash cow, my guess is they will protect them because, as you've now seen, betting is now legal around the ballpark or whatever. And so, yeah, I think maybe doesn't hold the most weight, but it certainly is something to think about. And, you know, there have been commissioners, Ben, in their time that came in and said, this game needs to be cleaned up, whether it be from illicit drugs. There was the cocaine craze of the 80s. They had to come in and clean that stuff up. Then there was the PEDs of the late 80s and 90s. You know, then now... The money. If you've got the owner of the world's biggest franchise potentially under investigation for a Ponzi scheme, and you already have another owner, I think, that was involved in a Ponzi scheme before, yeah, I think there could be a commissioner that comes in and says, all right, we gave you guys the golden goose, you blew it, we're cleaning this thing up. I'd be in favor of it to get this garbage out.
Let's give a little update on a more wholesome baseball story here before we get to Don't Do This. Yesterday was supposed to be the day that Sweetwater Valley Little League began play at the Little League World Series, as well as the team from Tijuana. Both of those games were rained out. I don't think they played at all yesterday. It was just a washout completely in Williamsport. So both games have been rescheduled for today. In fact, the team from Tijuana already underway. They play early game, and they are up 5-0 in the top of the fourth inning against Sydney, Australia in their opener. Don't think they're televising the early games. Maybe it's streaming somewhere on ESPN, but I can give you the score update. It is 5-0 Tijuana. Meanwhile, the team from Sweetwater Valley will play at 9 a.m. this morning against Davenport, Iowa, on ESPN as they get their run started. So both of those games will be early and done before noon today as they look for opening victories in South Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Excellent.
Can you imagine having to wait? You finally get there and then you got to wait.
Nothing worse.
An extra day because it's
your stomach, dude.
It rains all day long.
Kids didn't care. They probably went and played and had a great time
sliding down the hill on the muddy hill. Yeah, it's a lot of fun there.
The coaches and the parents are like, oh my God. It's so much more excruciating for the coaches and the parents than it is the players. The players are about to have the time of their lives.
So I you know, that big hill that you see them sliding down. I did it once. Yeah, on one, like a piece of cardboard.
How'd it go?
So it was not rainy at all. It was very dry.
Save that.
And I was, I really couldn't
get the momentum.
Get the momentum going. So it was kind of like I had to keep pushing myself down the hill.
So it wasn't really fun.
So it wasn't fun
you're just
at all
more
for
like
me.
Scooting.
Just kind of scooching. Yeah, I was just kind of scooching down. All the way down the hill.
Obviously, you're supposed to run. Dive headlong onto it. But
I was a little more cautious in my approach.
Portlier then.
And a little bit portlier. And it was at the end of the tournament after the whole thing was over.
Yeah.
It's like everyone was clearing out. We had already done our live shots.
Oh, they didn't get this for the news?
They did not get this for the news.
Okay, this was just
pleasure. Just give it a try. Yeah, just for my own edification.
Yeah.
And it was like scooch. Scooch. Scooch.
This is super fun.
Like a dog on carpet.
Like a water slide with no water going down it.
It happened to me in Hawaii. I went down on one of the early runs of the day and got stuck halfway through. I was like,
There's nothing worse than being stuck in the middle of the water slide.
With little kids coming hauling ass behind you. You're like, oh God. I'm about to wear one in the back. It's the worst, man. The worst. Whew. All right, that was a fun first hour.
We've got Don't Do This is coming up next. Maybe one of the more horrifying things I've seen at a baseball stadium.
It was very dry.
We'll get to that and more coming up with Ben and Woods, broadcasting live from our Bill House studios. We know how on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks to SDFatLoss.com. Maybe I could rock it down the hill in Williamsport nowadays. Lost 40 pounds in 60 days by following their very simple program. Eating right, but eating foods that I liked at the same time. Chicken, steak, stuff from the grocery store. They're not asking you to buy anything like shakes or bars or prepackaged meals. It's up to you, which I loved because I like food. And I wasn't going to give up food. I had tried those other programs, hated it, lost some weight, gained it right back when I started eating regular food. With SDFatLoss.com, they help you supercharge your metabolism, and then you maintain the weight loss when you are done without the need to rely on the GLP-1 injections, which, yeah, maybe suppresses your hunger a little bit, but you're going to lose muscle, your metabolism is going to go down, and if you don't keep taking the injections, probably going to gain that weight back. This is different. At SDFatLoss.com, no exercise necessary. You can lose up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. Get your free consultation by going to SDFatLoss.com. They'll explain it. And if you think it's right for you, sign up for the program now and take $200 off for 97.3 The Fan listeners during their summer special at SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Ben and Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Darren Smith will join us coming up just after the bottom of the hour. First, though, I will kick things off for DDT today with one of the more horrifying things I've seen at a baseball game. Now, this was Citi Field. I don't know if the video was taken during the Padres series or before it and posted during the Padres series. But, well, let's just play it. We'll describe for everyone who's listening on their radio. It is the... I didn't even see that part. So it's the flotsam and jetsam that you get under the seats at a ballpark, peanut shells. And there's a little hand that just creeps out of this hole. It's a raccoon, and it's trying to grab shells and peanuts. I can't believe that the person who's sitting there is not, like, running away. Like, the feet are there. They see it's there.
Oh, they're into it.
They like, put a hot dog down the...
They're shoveling
stuff down the hole, and the raccoon is just gobbling. Loves it. So, but the hand...
It's the hand.
The hand looks like something from a horror movie coming out.
I thought it was AI. You know how they do bits in baseball games now, where they have, like... Remember that we all tuned into a game and there were people like sitting there some movie?
It was a marketing...
thing? I thought this was AI for like... Because Halloween's right around the corner. I was like, oh, cool. The man that lives under the stadium is coming out. And I'm going to see it probably because there's a man that lives under there and he reaches up and he has a creepy death hand.
I think almost every stadium has an issue of some sort with critters.
Rodents and critters.
That make it their home, but that one was in particularly horrifying.
If you were a bird or a rodent, you come back in your next life. Where are you hanging out?
Yeah.
Ballpark. It's pretty close.
Petco like, Park. Petco not, you could Park. Do a lot worse than Petco Park.
Yeah. Good weather.
Good food.
Plenty of food.
Plenty of wasteful food. Yeah, like,
you
got to
be subtle,
food.
Though, because, you know, they're going to want to exterminate you they find you. Yeah. So you can't really feel comfortable at all moments.
There's a restaurant, though, I've eaten at a couple times in Point Loma. I think it's called Point Loma Fish Company. Does that sound right?
Point Loma Seafood?
Maybe. It's right there on the water.
Yeah.
Good. You walk in and
it's amazing.
It's great. 85,000 birds. We sat outside one time. The guy next to us... Seagull swoop right down, grab the dude's oysters or whatever, and just split, and everything goes flying. So it is.
Oracle Park, like after a day
Oracle's
game is over,
gnarly.
It's like a Hitchcock movie.
That's right.
With the birds that come in and just are absolutely
love that place.
Vicious going after all the leftovers.
I love both of those places, Oracle Park and that restaurant is phenomenal. But you have to eat like you're covering your test in school.
I've had the experience, I think told about it a couple of times. Golf course squirrels have gotten so aggressive. Like they will
in
open
your
bag.
Yeah.
They'll find your like golf bag and look for snacks. Like they will unzip zippers and like start going in and rifling through your stuff to see what they can find. You leave like a sandwich in the cart,
Snickers,
it's gone.
Yeah.
And they know where to go too. It's always after the turn. So they all live like on the 10th green and the 11th tee where
the
they know little buggers. You'll have
the squirrel community.
Food in your cart and you're leaving to go putt and then you come back and you go, what happened?
Where's my hot dog?
Where's my hot dog? It's gone. No,
they got me.
They know exactly where to go.
They got me at Twin Oaks one time. They got like took my hot dog and some chips that were in the thing, and I was like, and it's already after the turn, so you can't go back and get more.
Yeah, they wait after the turn that for all the snack eaters on the golf course.
Absolutely brilliant. All right, so I've got an update to a don't do this story we did earlier in the week. Ketel Marte, it has taken some twists and turns, the Ketel Marte situation over the week, but I think it's all resolved now again. Placed on the restricted list when he did not show up for a game. Now he has been sent back to Arizona. He got an injection in his left knee for inflammation. They hope he can return from the injured list in the 10 days, the minimum 10 days. But what really spurred it, like, they were, I'm going to give them a lot of credit. They were as upfront with this as they could have been. Mike Hazen, the next day, went on a radio show, talked about it. Torey Lavullo was obviously like, they're not going to share every detail of what's going on mentally with Ketel Marte. I don't think he is 100%, you know, in the right headspace to finish the season.
I think it's fair to say it was strange that all the reporting on Monday or whatever that was, hey, he's missing.
He's missing.
We don't know where he is. And then all of a sudden, guys, his knee's bothering. He's back in Arizona.
That was
That's
weird.
Kind of weird.
Certainly. But there's obviously this has happened before where he feels the need to run. Yeah. And it happened. He's caught, you know, his house got broken into. So anyway,
as caring as the Diamondbacks have been, though.
And up front.
You see Derek Hall, the president of the team, yesterday said, hey, he owes us both an explanation and an apology.
Well, I think,
before there's any thought of him returning to the team.
And I do think that that was resolved because they all sat down, got in a room, as it's what usually works. You get in a room, you hash it out, and that I think it's going to be okay at this point. They're saying, hey, we went in there, we talked about the situation, and we're going to, it's a personal issue still, we're going to keep it private, but we're all on the same page now. He's going to get the shot and we're good to go. So it's a good update. But yeah, man, you know, I root for Ketel Marte. If he's going through something, you know, I hope he comes out better on the other side.
Finally, do this.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
And I must say, I smiled when I saw this story in the UT, and I did get a statement from John Seidler. But a lot of our friends who work for the San Diego Padres are about to have a very good day, because it was reported yesterday that when the sale is officially recorded, which should happen in the next couple of days, and all the wire transfers from Kwanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano go to the old owners who are selling their shares, that some of that money is being set aside by some of the Seidler family and some of the other people who are selling their shares in the Padres to pay bonuses for every full and part-time employee of the San Diego Padres. So
I think that's fantastic.
You know, PR, people who work in operations. I mean, you know, our friend JoJo at Fantasy Camp. These are all Padres employees. I don't know what the total number is, but
John, if you're listening, it's R-E-I-N-D-L.
We are not.
There's no E on the end of it.
We've been Padres employees. So here's the problem.
If we get bonuses, then you'll know we are definitely compromised.
I've been accused of this before, just paid Padres employee. It actually goes the other way. So if there's nothing that hits my account, I'm going to be furious at this point. Because
yeah, I want my cut.
I want my cut. If you're going to accuse me of it, fine. Pay me. Pay me to do it.
I know. You told me last week you have memorized your routing number and account number. So you can give that to the Padres right now.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the statement, though, from John Seidler. Quote, "The success of this franchise has always been about people. And so many dedicated individuals have contributed to the growth and accomplishments of the Padres throughout our family's stewardship. This bonus is a way for our ownership group to say thank you to the employees who helped make that success possible through their hard work, passion, and commitment to our organization and our community. We are deeply grateful for everything they have done and the role they've played in the Padres' growth over the years." One final nice gesture from the Seidler family. As they, not completely out, I know some of them are staying on with at least partial ownership, but from their control of the San Diego Padres, one more good deed.
It's just always a good reminder to take care of your employees when you can, right? Mm-hmm. Always a good reminder. They're going to work harder. They're going to want to be a part of your organization. Take care of them when you can. And I think this is one of those instances where if you didn't, everyone's going to be like, what? Really? As guys, like people in the corner offices are like, counting cash.
Putting in a pool.
I had a boss in an industry one time where, like, it was a rough year. It was a rough year for everybody involved in the country. It was just a rough down year. Dude went to Instagram on Christmas morning and had bought, like, Vespas for his entire family. So, like, four brand new Vespas. Piles of presents. And I mean piles. And it's just like this big present orgy on Christmas morning. And I looked at it and I was just like, it made me like my neck seized up.
You're like, this, we should all be able to agree on this. This looks
so
wrong.
The look is terrible. Like, again, buddy, you could have done all that.
And
if you didn't post
it,
I wouldn't have known. And then I don't want to hurt you because I know, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't hurt me. But waking up Christmas morning and seeing that, be like, cool, man. Very, enjoy your new Vespas, all of you. This family of four just riding around the neighborhood Christmas morning with Santa hats on. Lost my mind. Lost my mind.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah. I got the we got the Jelly of the Month Club.
That's what the three of us are getting.
Yeah, the gift that keeps on giving.
We're getting membership in the Jelly of the Month Club.
If the Padres is brass, if
the
Padres,
Jelly Roll,
the Jelly Roll of the Month. Oh, we got that too. If the Padres brass is listening, it would be the funniest bit of all time to send us some jelly. Just I think it's the funniest thing. If I came to work and I opened up some mint or here's some orange marmalade. I think I would
and
be
then
my
we send Cousin Eddie after you.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's so good.
All right. When we come back,
I want John Seidler here tonight, right now, in my living room, so I can tell him
down here in Granite Ridge. Please, somebody send us some jelly.
Our pal Darren Smith's going to join us when we come back. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, well, our beloved Purple said Woodsy's going to be making another trip down to Sedano Ford when that bonus kicks in, but I don't need to. Got the brand new F-150 2026. It's amazing. I love it so much. It makes me so happy to get in my truck and drive to work and drive to the fields and it's got all the space that I need, but check out the back-to-school savings event going on right now at your local and veteran-owned Sedano Ford right there in La Mesa. Just like 10 minutes from us here. It's a beautiful dealership with friendly people. They're going to take care of you. They really want to get you in the car or truck of your dreams. $349 a month is what it's going to cost you to get in that new 2026 Ford F-150 STX or the 2026 Bronco Sport Big Ben or the 2026 Ford Explorer Active. That's three great Ford vehicles, one amazing payment, $349 a month. And there's even more to take advantage of. 0.7% APR financing plus no payments for 90 days on select new Ford models. Don't wait. These offers will not last long. Stop by your local and veteran-owned Sedano Ford in La Mesa. Don't forget to tell them that Woodsy sent you for complete details and more great offers can be found. SedanoFord.com. Once again, SedanoFord.com.
All right, looking forward to Fridays every single week because it's always our chance to get to talk to our friend Darren Smith. So let's go right out to our SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking. It is better. One of the voices of SDFC, also the host of the Friar Territory podcast, is with us. Good morning, Darren. How's your week?
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, always a pleasure to be here. You guys have so many listeners. I swear, every week I get a text from somebody either before, during, after this segment, somebody who's listening in. This week it was my pal Chuck Acuna. So shout out to the great Chuck Acuna, a South Bay legend from his high school days as a catcher. Big fan of the Ben and Wood show. So shout out
to him.
I love
it. Thank you, Chuck.
Yeah. Did he play in the Little League World Series? I mean, South Bay?
I don't think he did. He is, but he had, there's a bunch of guys down here. Actually, it's funny because I work with Adrian Garcia Marquez, who was a really good player himself back in his high school days. And these guys all knew each other. They all played against each other. Benji Gill was one of those dudes as well. So there's a whole crew of people down here who were South Bay baseball, high school baseball legends. Adrian's right in the middle of that group as well.
I love that, man. And it's a different, we're playing a team this week from the South Bay, my 9U team. And you'll just see, I told them, you're going to see a different kind of baseball. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome. And learn as much as you can from those kids, man. It's just different and it's cool. I love that. I love that difference. And there's a difference, Darren, in many cultures, in all these different sports, soccer obviously being one of them, and baseball being the other one. I listened to, what's his name? Bob Kendrick was on the Behind the Smoke or All the Smoke podcast, and he was talking about the cultural explosion and how the games were all played the same game but played differently, and I love that about sports.
By the way, great podcast. They've
so
really
good.
Leaned
they crush
in.
It.
They have a new baseball channel specifically, and their baseball stuff is just as good as any of their other content.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't recommend it.
It's excellent.
Yeah, I mean,
I love
for a podcast that was just like a bunch of former NBA guys getting high and telling stories,
yes.
It turned into really one of the great media success stories out there, hasn't
it? It's so good. It's so good, and the way that he tells the story of like the Latino players, the way that they played, the Afro-Latino players, the way that they played, and then the African-Americans and how they played the game as opposed to the white people, how they played the game, how it all come together. Soccer's a lot like that, too.
Yeah, soccer and baseball, sure. Yeah, totally. I mean, they hear these guys tell their stories, and I'm always like, man, you guys remember what you were doing in high school to the point where they can go inning by inning, pitch by pitch, and they have these stories to tell, and I'm always like, yeah, I don't know. At recess, I was going home and smoking weed. guys have these amazing high school baseball stories. You know, like I didn't know what was going on back then. But these guys, I love hearing them get together because they still tell their stories from their high school days. And I will admit, I am kind of envious of it because, you know, they really did play in some high profile games, which I think is great. And like you said, you know, it's a little bit of a different cultural conversation than something perhaps I would have grown up with. So
Darren, I watched the entire SDFC game on Wednesday night at Portland, and my takeaway is whatever they're paying Anders Dreyer, it's probably not enough. Because they couldn't do much without him on the pitch, honestly. I mean, yeah, they still controlled the ball most of the time, but never really turned into anything other than a nice goal by Pirani, the new player, but that was about it for the entire game.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And the one player on the field who, you know, you feel good about in terms of his ability to score the season is Marcus, right? And he has 11, but he was never given any breathing room. And unfortunately, like you said, think about what the designated player represents in Major League Soccer. You know, this is supposed to be your best player, your highest paid player, and Anders is serving the suspension. And Elias Ashuri is just getting up to speed. He's not ready to start a match. Maybe this weekend, maybe maybe tomorrow against Colorado. I'm heading out to the training facility to go talk to Mikey. So we'll see. He looked good when he gets on the field. And, you know, your third DP is playing for the Galaxy. So you are in a situation where you are playing these other guys. And respectfully, you know, who you're playing on your front line. Lewis Morgan doesn't have a goal this season and hasn't scored since 2024. Alex Mighton on the other side has one goal as an MLS player and isn't really much of a threat. And Portland knows this. You know, Portland's like, well, hey, listen, if we get beaten by these guys, so be it. And they just took away Marcus. And like you said, Pirani did some things. Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, they did a lot of things well. Mikey's not blowing smoke when he says that the team is doing some things well out there. But what they are not is they are not ruthless. They are not dangerous yet in front of goal. Is that going to change when you get your new DP, a shorty in there, and you get Marcus and Anders all humming? And now Pirani looks like he brings something different to the table. I hope so. You know, I hope so because got 14 left and Colorado is one of these 6-pointers. You know, they're 4 points ahead of us. These other teams in the West are starting to fall apart. Seattle's in a free fall. San Jose's in a free fall. Real Salt Lake just sold its best player to Crystal Palace. So, you know, Minnesota lost. This was a real missed opportunity because you could have jumped over 3 different teams, including Portland, if you had won that game on Wednesday night and being 4 points behind Colorado. Now think about it. Just do the math. You lose, you're 7 behind. Mm. You win, you're 1 behind, and you have the opportunity perhaps to jump some of these other struggling teams. So I'm going to keep saying it. I still do think there is a good team here, but it has to show itself at some point with 14 games remaining on the season.
Oh, I love it. And I love this push, right, from SDFC this time of year as they push to the playoffs. The exact same thing with the Padres. Gets a little dicey losing 2 of 3 from the Mets. And, you know, Darren, the way that they've been playing in the second half, though, it's calmed, I think, me and maybe a lot of other people down. The ability to come back in games. And you know, even Tony mentioned it yesterday. He said, one thing, the last few games have been a little bit inconsistent. 1 run, 7 runs. 1 run, 5. You know, like if there's a way to, and I know it doesn't work that way, you know, but if there's a way to get the offense just not even humming, just 4 runs, like the way that the pitching's going now, you feel a lot better about this squad.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, yeah, you started that, Woodsy, and I thought you were talking about SDFC, and I'm like, I'm nodding along because yes, I agree. Because, you know, it is sort of similar here. Both teams went out there, did what they had to do at the trade deadline during the transfer window, and now, you know, you're watching other results, right? Like the other day, nothing went the Padres' way. They lose to the Mets 2 out of 3, and Arizona wins, and Philadelphia wins, so you know, nothing really went their way. And you're right. You know, it unfortunately feels like it's part of the Padres story that for every time they explode and you're like, yeah, okay, wow, this offense isn't this terrific. It's fun to watch. You know, they're just as likely to put up 1 the next day. And where is everybody? What happened here? You know, how could you not ride the emotional high of what it was that happened game 2 of that series with Fernando Tatis Jr. only to come back the next day and lose? You know, like it just, it's maddening, and unfortunately, although I think it's probably unfair, unfortunately what it does is it just reminds a lot of people of how the 2024 season ended against the Dodgers.
Yep.
When you're just cruising and you feel really good and you feel like you get through the Dodgers, and man, this is a team that might be going to the World Series, and then they just completely ghost. They totally disappear in the final 2 games. So, yeah, again, it's probably unfair, but, you know, we have long memories around here, and you're starting to think, God, like, you know, I don't want to live through that again. You know, there are other ways that you can lose other than watching the bats go quiet. You kind of did that in Chicago last year. So, yeah, it would be great if they could do that. And imagine, like, you know, this front office has done everything it can do. There's not many more levers to pull. This is kind of what it is. These guys have to figure it out. You know, and they have to figure it out there on the field. And Manny Machado's got to be better. And these guys got to be more consistent. You know, we can't be riding this roller coaster of Jackson Merrill. Like, he's back. Okay, this is what they paid for. Okay, where is he? You know, like guys, you got 30-something games left. Like, it's up to you now. Like, your front office has done everything it could do. There's only so many more things your coaching staff can do. Like, you got to go. You got to just make it happen.
There's one more lever.
Oh, Ethan Salas?
Yeah, there's an Ethan Salas really lever. There's one. I mean, that's totally that is it. A lever.
Mm. Mm. It's an interesting lever. Is it one that would you pull? I don't know.
I don't know either. I wish I did. I think
if either of the catchers was struggling, it's an easy lever to pull. But because they're both kind of locked in, it's like, all right, there are some consequences to pulling that lever as well.
He doesn't have to come in and catch right away. Doesn't have to.
You're bringing him in the hit.
He doesn't have to come in and be the guy. Then you got to. But like, what better time for a spark of for a lineup? Yeah, Samad Taylor coming back. I think that's going to be great. And if he does what he did, great, no problem.
I just don't know if he's an offensive spark yet.
He's hitting.
I think
he's really
consistent.
He puts
all
together
around good player.
For his bat though, or for the spark, or just because, you know, here's the thing, and you know, this is it's an interesting part of the conversation, and you know, I was asked this yesterday by Marty, and I kind of dismissed it because I feel like, you know, Ethan Salas, should he come up, should he not, is replaced by yourself as, you know, the sort of you know, the conversation that we need to have whenever we need to fill segments. But you know, and you know, here's the thing, like getting a catcher, right? I heard Buddy Black a couple of weeks back with you guys, and I was surprised when he said we feel maybe offensively he might be ready more than defensively.
Yeah.
How much experience does he have with pitchcom, right? How much does he know these pitchers? The game speeds up on you in the big leagues. As good as he is, right, as bright as his future might be, this game speeds up on you. We know that, especially with 30 to go, and every day the wins and losses matter. And, you know, you're one bad appearance behind the plate with Michael King, right, who, like, gives up a three-run jack from him being like, why am I throwing to this rookie when I feel better with Freddie Freeman? Can he control the running game, right? You have guys like Robbie Ray and Michael King who put runners on base a lot, right? Like, so I just it's an interesting thing to think about, but I think once you know, you kind of go through the pluses and minuses of it, I don't know, it's a risk. You know, I wouldn't want to see pitchers feel down the stretch like they're uncomfortable throwing to somebody that they haven't thrown to all season long, because you know, he's got to get used to life in the big leagues, which is different than life in AAA.
Yeah.
Darren, I can't let you go without getting your thoughts on what we talked about in the first hour. And I think one thing that San Diego loves is Darren Smith takes on high level, complicated issues in sports.
Oh, yeah.
The Dodgers situation. Woodsy kind of went on a rant. Why are we not hearing stories about this from the big elite reporters in Major League Baseball? Are they coming? And how serious is this going to be in baseball?
They're not tweeting anything.
Nothing.
I mean, really, like, Ken hasn't tweeted in a week, and we're in the middle of a pennant race. And
Who's that?
Ken Rosenthal. He's not sent a tweet in a week.
I get your point. I think it's fair. But do you really think Ken Rosenthal and Bob Nightingale, a guy who is unaffectionately nicknamed Boob Nightingale, do you think he is qualified to talk about a $20 billion insurance fraud situation?
No, but he wasn't qualified to talk about Seidler's pocketbook, and he did.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I feel like these guys sort of just relay whatever information is told to them. I don't really feel like, you know, that industry, that whole insider industry is to be confused with being market analysts. Somebody says something to them and they go, oh, that's interesting, and they repeat it, right? I think we kind of all hover around in the space from time to time. Sure. Somebody says something, it sticks with you. You're like, oh, okay, that's interesting, I'm going to say it. I do think Jeff Passan, I don't know, maybe I've missed it, I don't follow it as closely, but I think Jeff Passan has mostly been an advocate for the Padres. I mean, I remember having conversations with Jeff where he has certainly been an advocate for the Padres and for Peter Seidler specifically. I would just say this, you know, just because, you know, I don't want to get caught in the glass house here throwing stones around, but the guy that's being introduced on Monday is still technically a business partner of Mark Walter.
Yes.
So, like, I also want to be careful that, like, you know, that I don't understand this world. I don't understand the world of finance and private equity and how you can manipulate an insurance company for $20 billion to pay Shohei Ohtani. You know, I'm not going to pretend like I do, but I do know that there are connections there and that these people hover around in somewhat similar spaces with private equity and Goldman Sachs and such. And I hope that there's separation with Jose E. Feliciano and Kwanzaa Jones, because I want to believe that this is a version of Peter Seidler, right? Connections to the Dodgers, just through business, a guy who's mostly been behind the scenes in life and in business and now stepping into the forefront, right? And sort of a legacy play for him and his wife. I hope that is the case. I really do. But, you know, I also am not naive enough to be unaware of the fact that he still technically is in business with Todd Boehly and Mark Walter. Sure. And, you know, I don't know. I hope that there is truly this Cold War and these factions inside of Chelsea Football Club, which, by the way, starts its season on Monday while Jose E. Feliciano's having his press conference at Petco Park. I think that's interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I just, you know, I hope that there is some separation there. I really do, and I'm optimistic about that. But, you know, I also will say maybe there was a reason why this vote was sort of kicked down the road a little bit longer. I don't know. Let's see what happens.
And just for anybody who's not following, Mark Walter, the owner of the Dodgers, is also a partial owner of Chelsea, which is owned by Jose E. Feliciano's Clear Lake Capital, although the reporting is he's trying to sell his share back to Clear Lake Capital to help with all of his, you know, financial issues
now. Which is like another fascinating angle because, you know, these private equity guys have to prove that Chelsea's actually successful, contrary to how it's being reported. So, like, do you have to overpay them to go away? Because I don't know. It just, there's so much there, but I understand the point. You know, these guys all drop to their knees every second for the Dodgers. I get it. And now, you know, they have nothing to say suddenly. But I also think if I'm just, you know, just my own personal opinion, they're also unqualified to talk about, you know, billions of dollars in potential insurance fraud.
I mean, I've got a DM of passing, you know, from like 2 years ago, maybe spring training. And it to read it back now, knowing, you know, what's out there at least, is crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's like two pails of water in each hand, just kind of walking, you know, carrying it for what they're doing. And they're so smart and they're so savvy. And yeah, man, like I think me, you, Ben, Paul, we start a Ponzi scheme together. We can make more money in a
season. Let's do it.
Let's check out where we are in a year.
Before we knew all this, it did seem smart and savvy what the Dodgers are doing.
I mean, they still have a great farm system,
Of course.
I mean, that's not because of insurance fraud, you know, and like just their whole television thing. Like everybody knew they had an unfair economic advantage, but that was their advantage.
That was their advantage.
The Padres have an unfair advantage because it's San Diego and people would rather play here than play in Arizona or some dump like Cincinnati. So, you know, you play to your advantages there, and the Dodgers is economic. But, you know, again, like the fact that these guys wrapped up in some sort of insurance fraud situation under federal indictment is not something I'm necessarily qualified to talk about, but I'll laugh at it and point at it. You know, just hope it doesn't boomerang back around on us.
Darren, we squeezed a little extra time out of you. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
good luck
brother.
To SDFC tomorrow against the Colorado Rapids at Snapdragon Stadium.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Steve.
There he is, D. Smith, Friday guest, and everybody talking about Darren Smith on the Ben and Woods program.
Love it.
Always enjoy that. All right, we'll come back. We've got 2 hours to go, including our SDCCU management report with Josh Stein. We'll play a little Take on Woods and a very odd restaurant order I heard about this morning. Coming up next on The Fan.